Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, loves, and welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. Such a joy to be gathered with all of you today. As always, thank you so, so much for being here, and happy April, question mark? I said this last monthly medicine that, like, I both can't believe it's not December. Like, this, I do feel like this year is going by very slowly and also going by shockingly fast. Like, I can't believe it, really. I'm so happy to be back here with all of you. Hope all of you had a beautiful month. I'm so sorry I wasn't able to get to a Q&A episode last month. Things just, it's a wild, extra wild year for me in terms of workload. Exceptional workload, family load, life. So, constantly navigating illnesses, constant. So, yeah, just thank you so much for your patience with me. And wow, are we getting into something, this month? This is quite the energetic invitation. I was like, oh, damn. Initially, I mean, I knew the astrology for the month ahead, but I was like, oh, April, Aries season. I'm such a fool. Like, I'm in Aries and I'm always like, yeah, Aries season. And I'll say it's always brutal. Like, my birthdays are brutal. Aries season is brutal. It's hard. I like Aries energy, but this time on the wheel of the year, It's tough. These growing pains are hard. Getting into the, you know, really the signature of 2024 really starts at the spring equinox when we move into Aries season. That's really when we shed, you know, the energy of the year that came before, like, fully. So yeah, just wild. So I'm excited to get into it, and I'll share a little bit, just tiny bit up top about if you want to work with me, if you want to know what's going on in my teaching world, starting on April 1st, we're starting the process of opening the doors for Tarot for the Wild Soul, which is my level 2 foundational soul tarot theory course. What do you have to know? Number one, we open full and partial scholarship applications for Tarot for the Wild Soul course, April 1st to April 5th, Monday through Friday. So be on the lookout for that. Know that that's coming. If you want to receive more information, you can do so by going either to my website, tarotforthewildsoul.com, or signing up for the newsletter, which will be in the link in the show notes. So if you would like to get potentially be considered for a full scholarship to Tarot for the Wild Soul, or a partial, which is 50% off of tuition for folks who are at need that support in order to join us, I would love to support you with that. Enrollment for Tarot for the Wild Soul is open from Tuesday, April 9th to Friday, April 19th. It's only 10 days. If you are signed up to my newsletter, you get a completely separate rate from folks who are not signed up to the newsletter. The newsletter gets a special newsletter-only discount that lasts the duration of enrollment. So if you would like to sign up, and if you'd like to sign up for a discounted rate, you can sign up for the link again in the show notes to take part in that. If you're an alum of the course of certain cohorts, there's a special discount for you. It depends on what cohort you are a part of. But you'll hear all about that. You'll see it in your inbox. And if you don't, you can give us an email and let us know if we missed you. Tarot for the Wild Soul course is the follow-up and the sister course, the sibling course to Rewilding the Tarot. Rewilding the Tarot is level 1. And it's all about building that strong, rooted foundation into a soul-led tarot practice that really feels like it belongs to you. Tarot for the Wild Soul is our level 2 course. So you don't need to have a ton of experience, but knowing the basics is helpful. And it's for anybody who wants to go beyond the fundamentals, who wants to really break out of any and all kind of paradigms of the tarot and bring their tarot practice with them into any situation, whether they have a deck or not. So this course is rooted in a nonlinear seasonal framework. We're not looking at the deck in a particular, like in Golden Dawn order. We're looking at it out of order. The flow of the course is rooted in the seasonal spiral of the year. So in other words, there's like a spring section of the course and we explore certain cards in that section and a summer and an autumn and a winter. It's a very beautiful offering. There's weekly, there's your choice between a live and guided version of the course, which is like just a touch more money, and a self-led version of the course. Folks who are doing self-led just take themselves through the material. All good. Folks who are opting into live and guided, there are 8 90-minute Q&A and practice calls with me for every week throughout the duration of the course. You get, it's an 8-week course. You get 8 of those. And the course runs from, I believe it is April 22nd to June 10th. So a nice 8-week spiral together. So yeah, it's a very, very powerful offering. And really helps, like if you're feeling like, oh man, like I know the tarot, I can like read, but like basically how do I take my practice for myself or with others to the next level? This is a really good option, you know? So yeah, you'll probably hear about this through the month, but just in case you don't tune in again, you can go to tarotforthewildsoul.com to find out more about that. Definitely sign up for the newsletter if you want information on scholarship applications. Yeah, all that good stuff. You know, newsletter only discount. It'll all be there for you. So for those of you who are interested, can swing something like this, I'm super duper excited to be able to do this with you. Yeah, in the next month or two during Taurus season, obviously, so not until probably April or May, late April or May, I'm going to be doing another live workshop, just a couple of hour long workshop on working with the Taurus cards of the year, because they're rooted in the Hierophant and in the Empress, which are wildly different. And I think like there's really something to be said about working with that dissonance within ourselves. So I'm excited for that. So yeah, it should be a really nice couple of month or two. Couple weeks together. So yeah, that's what I got for you in terms of housekeeping. Can't really think of anything else right now. So I think we'll skip on down to the main event here. So we're in April. We're fully kind of 2 feet, 2 wheels, whole being dropped in to 2024. A new astrological year has begun. We're fully out of any and all vestiges of chariot energy, 7 energy, and we're fully rooted into strength, 8, and starting to make sense of what that means for us, what that looks like for us. 8 energy, strength energy is definitely not turbocharged, even though it's very much about change in a very external, visible way. In fact, I find the 8s to be quite gradual, and they usually describe quite a bit of work, emotional work, experiential work, trial and error to get to where we want to be. So we're in that right now and making sense of it and feeling our way into this new landscape, this new energetic signature that we're in. So the theme for the month of April is kind of an interesting one, perhaps an odd one. It's declining the invitation. April is declining the invitation. So for some, I know that might sound perhaps, negative to your ears or to your spirit. I think engaging with the word no is one of the most powerful acts of self-preservation, autonomy, sovereignty that we literally have access to be able to say no to be able to have the power to have that be respected, you know, to have that be heard is enormous. Some of us work our entire lives to have our no be heard, to have our no be respected, to have us respect our own no. It's a lifelong journey. Doing any kind of spirit work, any kind of engagement, any kind of deepening into the relationship with our spirit helpers can immediately help to strengthen that, because I'm sure you've heard me talk about this. Guides, angels, like whatever you believe in, whatever you engage with, but anything that happens on the other side of the veil is deeply of and from, it's a consent-based universe fully and completely. So if we don't want any more visitations, any more presences, to say, go away and never come back, it works. Like, it's that simple. If we want to connect more with our guides, they will respond to that, even though it may take us a little while to click into, soften into, or you know, make sense of what it feels like to receive that from them, like how that flows through us. So we're not saying no to everything, right? We're not getting by declining the invitation, right? We're not getting rid of things that we love. We're not bypassing anything. What we're doing is declining invitations that take us out of presence, that take us out of where we're at, declining invitations into shoulds. We should be somewhere different. We should be somewhere better. We should have done this. Those things are valid, and I'm not saying that we can't engage with them. However, when we start to spiral into them, get stuck in them, swirl around in them, that's when we start to lose our way. So declining the invitation isn't saying that those feelings aren't there. It's not denying our rage, righteous rage. It's not denying our, you know, our grief around injustices, around systemic issues that might have led us to being in a different place than where we are. If we're living in a system that doesn't, you know, honor or provide aid or access to people who are having an extremely difficult time, who need certain accommodations, I'm not in any way saying like, oh, clear that out for like some bullshit. Not at all. What this month is doing is helping us to identify what invitations into an action that we might take, into a thought, into a line of thinking, what around that is helpful and what around that hinders. The things that hinder don't need to be pushed to the side and pushed away. They can be acknowledged without necessarily having them drive the car of our experience, rule our life, rule our experience, rule our day, take us away from the joys, from the opportunities, from the evolutions that we're going through right now. They get to come with us. They don't have to pitch us forward. There are going to be a lot of invitations this month, for sure. There are going to be a lot of invitations around like not particularly loving the vibe of what's going on. It's interesting because we just got out of this like Chariot 7 energy of like, that was what 2023 was, like suspension and process and clearing. And April's a lot like that. But the way that, so April carries a similar signature, but what it's doing and the function of it is really different. So April, we have a couple of pretty major things going on. So on March 25th, we entered into eclipse season on the lunar south node eclipse in Libra. And eclipse seasons, which you've heard me talk about on this podcast before, you've likely heard other people probably more eloquently than I talk about eclipses. Eclipse portals last about 2 to 2.5 weeks, and they are usually pretty fucking major opportunities for very accelerated growth, awareness, awakenings, and the best and most elegant and most graceful way to work with an eclipse is to essentially walk forward with your hands and arms open and say, okay, show me. Eclipses and the signature of an eclipse, how an eclipse feels and how eclipses, this bridge between the two of them, how they kind of behave and work is extremely similar to how the judgment card works. So judgment card is ruled by Pluto, and judgment is really the better name for it is awakening. And it really brings us into a space where we are shown patterns, cycles, habits, often that are ancestral, often that are generational, often that are from other lifetimes that we are still carrying in our body, in our behavior, in our habits. And by unearthing them, because Pluto is an excavator, by unearthing them and presenting them to us, we are able to process those things and clear them out. So if we think about how powerful Pluto is, that it can bring up things that have been like decades in the making, years in the making, months in the making, that's the kind of thing that we lock into when we're working with eclipses, you know, is that energy of excavation, of clarity, of process. So we're moving into April on that, you know. Also, starting on April 1st, not to be outdone by all this, we have a Mercury retrograde. Mercury stations retrograde in Aries and lasts until April 25th, most of the month. So if you've been listening to me for a little while, or you're familiar with my work, you know that I don't dislike, I'm not afraid of Mercury retrograde. I have a healthy respect for any retrograde. I was born under 5. So I'm not saying I'm used to it, but I do feel like, again, healthy respect versus fear. Knocking wood with that one. Mercury retrograde is a time we can think of in tarot terms. We can think of magician reversed when we think about Mercury retrograde. Magician is a vessel. It's ruled by Mercury. It's a channeler for information. Magician's job is to get a sense of like, okay, all the conditions are met for this thing, be it something very, very small or very, very big, to come through me. And the process of being a channeler, being a magician, is sort of what the magician, again, is all about and what Mercury is all about. So when Mercury's retrograde, something inside of that process of channeling and vesseling isn't quite connecting. And there's usually a really, really good reason for that. There's usually something, some knot that needs to be kind of unknotted before we move forward. There's usually some little wrinkle that needs to be smoothed out before we move forward. We may be ready, but the thing that we're channeling might not be. There might be some really important maturation to be done. There might be some really important like life things to accomplish. Mercury retrograde in Aries, we think about like Aries is a pioneer, it's a mover, it's a trailblazer. It goes first. So the idea that Mercury is sort of pausing and moving, you know, stationing retrograde in Aries, like sure, I'm certain there could be a lot of like fear-based spooky stuff that we could talk about, but the reality is that what we're talking about is a Mercury retrograde happening around the way we pioneer, the way we move, the way we embark, and the way we blaze trails. So we're pausing to do some clearing work, do some crucial weeding of the garden before we move into the next phase of whatever it is that we're doing. It's not, again, like the sexiest start to our like astrological new year, but it is an essential one because, again, strength 8 year, which 2024 is all about change. So how can we alter and the way that we change in an 8 energy in strength is all about facing the lion that requires facing in order to understand, in order to, like, whatever happens inside of what it is to face that lion, make contact with that lion, either within or outside of us, that is inside of that process how we transform. If you've ever embarked on a truly terrifying thing, whether it be terrifying to another person or just to you, it doesn't matter, your experience is valid. If you've ever embarked on that, you know that sometimes the thing itself, it wasn't about the thing at all. It was about what it took to do it, what it took to go, what it took to not say no. It changes us radically. So there's a lot of this that's coming up for me in my knowing around this idea of Mercury retrograde in Aries. It's definitely a time, like, sure, I'm certain Mercury like will retrograde in the way that it does with like different technological bullshit, but it's definitely a time the cards really strongly reflect this. It's a time to really decline any invitation that is not meant to show up and take place, move through us right now. Usually when we're in, and we'll get to this, we have cards like Tethered One this month and Hermit, like all kinds of other like deeply reflective kind of suspended cards. They're not pausing us in place just for fun. They suspend us in place because a process, we're undergoing a process of some kind. We're clearing something out in order to be ready for what wants to come on the other side. And I think Mercury retrograde is supporting that. So that's another huge thing. We have a Chiron Kazimi on April 8th alongside our solar north node eclipse in Aries. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that, but it's a Kazimi is when a particular planet, a planetary body aligns, is at the same degree, I believe, as Mercury. And I do know that it really allows for whatever lives within us, whatever is connected to whatever that planet might be, to deeply come through in a way that is expressive, communicative, verbal. It really allows this beautiful seed to burst forth and sort of flow from us. So we have a way of processing, transmuting our pain that's possible around the end point of this eclipse season, and then probably an integration period that's going to follow that. So again, April is, it's chock full. It's very ripe and rife with a lot of invitations to not take the invitation because we're going to be very busy doing our thing, working through whatever is going to be showing up inside of our being, outside of our being. The whole key with like that theme of declining the invitations is when we stop piling things on ourselves, on our schedule, in our life, we're able to actually allow ourselves to be moved and led to the next phase of our lives, which is precisely what's happening right now. So those are really big pieces and really define a lot of April. And again, I want to make sure I'm being really clear, like this month, we're not saying no to everything, a la declining the invitations. We're saying no to any part of us that tries to talk us into this idea that we should be somewhere different from where we are, because where we are is where we are. And there's really no arguing with it. It doesn't mean it's the best. It doesn't mean it's all aligned. It just means that we are where we are. And there's nothing to do but really be with that in order to actually facilitate an action that might move us out of it, you know? So it's going to be probably a pretty intense month. But the feeling that I get around it is one that, and this is so strength card, it feels very powerfully transformative in an internal way. Like in a way that is remarkable in terms of what it may bring forward to us inside of our own being, inside of our own heart. Like what needs to be, what boulder needs to be moved out of the road in order for us to continue on our journey. That really feels like a huge part of this time. And I imagine it's all going to look very different for all of us. I'm turning 40 on April 10th, and in reflecting on all of this and on the astrology, like, honestly, I'm like, of course, like, I feel like most Aries can probably identify with this. I feel like I've never not had a really intense birthday, and 40 is pretty epic. So, like, of course, I hope it's gentle with me and all of you. Okay, so let's dive into our cards. Our card for the month ahead is the Lovers card. So this gave me my first clue. This is not like a tower style month where there's a clearing in a way that's Mars led, that's like scorched earth, like fuck around, find out, like blasting through. The Lovers is like, hey, like, we're doing a lot of deep work together, but we can still have a good time. Like, it's ruled by Gemini after all, you know, like, it's Gemini will find a way to have a wonderful time. Like, you know, even if we're doing some pretty major sorting and clearing, proverbially. So important to also note that our card for this month is a major arcana card. So that's always really important to note. If our card is a major arcana card, it means that kind of, I keep using this word signature throughout this, but kind of the key focus, like something to really know about the way that the wind is blowing this month, is that whenever we get a major, it's an energy that's larger than something we're able to create on our own. We can't make wind. We can't make a wave. I guess we can technically, but just standing outside, like, you know, we can't create or compel the sun to rise sooner or later than it's going to rise, and set sooner or later than it's going to set. And major arcanas live in that kind of energetic landscape where we're surrendering to them. They are teachers that show up for us. They are waves that we're invited to surf. And in surfing them, we learn, right? We learn if we get up on the board and take it right back to the shore. We learn if we wipe out. We learn if we duck under the wave and we're like, fuck this. Like, we learn, you know, but it's a surrender process that we're being asked to move into. So that's important to note. And again, there are no bad cards in the tarot, but the Lovers card it's soft. I would describe it as getting a really powerful deep tissue massage. And those are not necessarily soft, but a massage that maybe starts out gentler and builds an intensity. And all of a sudden we find ourselves shedding tears and feeling into deep emotions and, you know, feeling into trapped, you know, like, as our fascia is softened and worked, like this experience of like, whoa, there's a lot moving. I feel like the Lovers tends to work like that. The Lovers, because of its rulership with Gemini, will bring us into spaces that have a big deal of reflection around interpersonal, whether that be loneliness that we feel around like lack of friends or lack of family, or, you know, bringing us into spaces with like, wow, there are a lot of people that love me and I haven't really allowed myself to drop into that, or spaces where we're hurtled back into a situation where we're with family and we weren't planning on that, like family of origin. The Lovers is a mirror, as depicted in many, many decks. It's depicted that way because it really is just a strong point of reflection where we usually see and look within a true mirror, a mirror that actually reflects to us our lovability, our worth, our value innately, and often painfully, the chasm between how we treat ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, the truth of us, and those beliefs. And the Lovers exist to help us to, in time, bring these two often really stark experiences, like how we feel about ourselves, the kind of love that we're able to integrate and to open to versus what we actually deserve, which is often so much more than what we've allowed in. The Lovers wants to help to bridge that gap and is often experienced as a big and sometimes really tricky time of reflection and review, where we really get to look at like, wow, these are the seeds I've sown. You know, Lovers, like a couple of different random examples. The Lovers, like if we've pursued a career that was like chosen for us, it was just expected, we didn't even know we could think about anything different. That's Lovers, is when we actually stop and have an opportunity to be like, holy shit, here I am. Like, I don't even like this. This isn't what I wanted to do. And it's not like we leave everything and go off and do something else. Sometimes it's not an option, but it is often a very painful point where we realize like, wow, my soul, my heart, what I longed for was this, and I'm over here. Okay. Like, is there anything I can do about that? How do I make sense of that? Like it can be, again, like I have my hand on my heart. Like it can be a lot, you know? Lovers can bring up experiences, as Michelle, my old teacher would say, like lessons in contrast, where we think we know what we deserve. We think we know our worth. We think we know what love is. We think we know what's important to us. And it's not that any of that's wrong, but there are times where we absolutely feel that way. And then something comes in that is such an expander and an elevator to that. I definitely know, like I was only fucking around with horrible, unhealthy people, terrible for me and making trouble wherever I went. When I met my current partner, my husband, Chase, one of the deepest lessons I had to do was like not destroy that relationship because they were so nice to me that it felt really, really dangerous, you know? Which is a pretty common thing with people who come from extremely chaotic, abusive households. And some people it isn't, but for me it was. For sure, when I had my daughter, I mean, I was totally career obsessed and there's definitely been like a swing of the pendulum in the other way where I'm like, career, whatever, you know, I still feel a deep call to this work, but I'm certainly not like leaning in the way I did before, which feels really right. I'm sure there'll be a rebalancing somewhere around, you know, but it was crucial as somebody who never wanted children and didn't understand why anyone did, really. I got it, but also didn't. It was eye-opening for sure, you know, and also respect not everybody has that experience. So like, that can be really powerful. The euphoria that comes from being like, I don't want to be with this person, or wow, this person is wonderful. Do I deserve this? Or whoa, I'm a parent now and my identity is so much more than a parent. Or I'm a parent now and all I cared about was other stuff. And now this is so important to me and so precious. And I'm so glad I'm here for it. And, you know, both inevitably show up. So Lovers is it can be hard. And again, the Gemini rulership is like the relationship between us and others, the relationship between us and how we share and communicate and connect with the world, the relationship between like looking at that relationship. And again, the Lovers usually shows up because there's a need for reflection and review. And there is a call, usually a pretty strong push to upgrade in some way. Like we're over here. And again, what we're really wanting and what's really calling for us is like pitched over a couple degrees. We're really being invited to move closer to those couple of degrees, but it requires us to look at like, I'm worth that, to consider that someone might deem me worthy of that. I could start on something new. It's okay to not, it's okay to not go a million miles an hour all the time. It's okay to be softer. It's okay to, whatever it is. So the Lovers can be confronting, but I would say it is not a harsh card. It is a pretty soft energy. It can bring about intensity, but I would say overall it's fairly gentle. So it's a good opportunity for us to understand that, again, if this is the card of the month, what it's bringing is, again, pretty gentle. But again, our card in the month is calling us into a state of reflection on what's been, what we've aimed for, what we're making space for next, how we're being invited to love and care for ourselves better. Now, how the month is going to feel for us is Three of Swords. Not terribly different, honestly, from the Lovers. Three of Swords is not a harsh card. Three of Swords can be very painful, but the Lovers can also be painful. The Lovers can be euphoric, and frankly, so can Three of Swords. So this isn't upping the harshness factor or the pointiness factor. Three of Swords can be experienced pretty softly and not. So we'll see how it shows up this month. Three of Swords is very simple. We all have mental noise. We all have distractions that keep us from the rawness that lives inside of our heart. Sometimes we get a shot to the heart, like there's an arrow that gets shot to the heart where we're like, whoa, that hurt so bad. Or, whoa, what a disappointment. Or, whoa, what a betrayal. Like they're absolutely, and that's the way we live all the time. And I share that because I know so many people are so frightened of Three of Swords, but that's life. Like if we took 2 seconds to pause and to float from the cloud cover of the stormies of the mind down into the depths of the heart, there would absolutely be something there to process, to grieve, to acknowledge. Three of Swords doesn't mean that we're going to get an arrow to the heart. It acknowledges that there's probably one that's already there. And it calls us in to just pay attention to the heart. That's the only invitation in Three of Swords. It doesn't promise anything. It doesn't predict anything. It is an invitation to move from the spiral mentally that we move into, blaming others, blaming ourselves, getting caught up in what ifs, getting caught up in shoulds, basically the noise and the bullshit, instead of centering the heart, instead of just saying to ourselves, this hurts really bad. This hurts. Again, eclipse season, Mercury retrograde is a time where we're going to be presented with some stuff, whether that be really intense or really euphoric or somewhere in the middle. Our job and our opportunity is to be really closely tethered to the heart, to be connected to our heart, even to say, like, you're in so much pain right now. I'm not quite sure what to do about that. And I just want to tell you, I see you, I know I've shared on this podcast before, but I have found the times when I've gotten like a real like classic shot to the heart, arrow to the heart experience with Three of Swords. When I'm willing to be with the heart before I react from that place of hurt or from that place of story, it changes my response significantly. I respond often clearer, in a more pointed way, in a way that gets my point across a lot more clearly. So it is a very powerful act of self-care and act of empowerment, not to let anyone off the hook, not express when harms have been done, not at all, but to be able to be with the heart, to be able to be with ourselves when those feelings arise. So the month, you know, we have to feel the feelings, just dropping into the truth of the heart and what the heart needs under that mental noise. It's really important how we can marry these two energies together. I got tethered one, just hanging out with it. There's nothing to do. Every energy this month is about an allowing, like letting the wind rush through our hair, letting the wave curl over us and allowing. It's not going to bury us. It's not going to, it's letting whatever detritus is remaining there to be sloughed off, letting ourselves root down, move more presently into our power. It's extremely painful to be able to say like, wow, I'm not where I thought I'd be. This is really disappointing. This is a bummer. This is so challenging. So that's the invitation is like tethered one does all the work of the soul process of like, if we're moving through any kind of a death cycle, tethered one is where we do the process and the work of dying, what it means to surrender to that, what it means to move through denial, what it means to move through like all the feelings that we have about what it is to let something really go and to really bow over to that process. That's what we do in tethered ones. So marrying that together is really like letting ourselves be in process, letting ourselves be led this April with this, you know, Mercury retrograde, again, eclipse season, like the final note of eclipse season happening with like a Chiron Kazimi. It's all pointing us to like the need to pause, to drop in, to reflect, to trust in this pause. We're absolutely like headed towards something and underway here, but this is a very important clearing reflection period before we're able to move forward. And again, it's not just the cards, it's the astrology. It's everything inside of that. And I think, again, having reflected on like, I remember when we were in a strength year 9 years ago in 2015, and it was a very important year for me. And at the same time, it was, it dragged so hard. There was just so much work to do. Because again, 8 isn't a sexy snap of the finger change. It really is like the rite of passage, the trial and error, the process to get to where we're going. And that's part of what's going on. It's really just bowing over to that. The deepest lesson in the month ahead, the Hermit. So basically, like, if how we can marry Three of Swords and Lovers together is tethered one, Hermit's there kind of bringing up the rear being like, your deepest lesson is to really, again, to double down on this, to trust in the fact that there's nothing else for you to be doing right now. Hermit isn't, again, like tethered one. Tethered one does very important work. Hermit does really important work, and they do work differently. Tethered one keeps us suspended in a kind of a chrysalis so we can process, clear, move through a death process. It prepares us for transformation. The Hermit kind of caps our ability to know next steps, that the lantern light of the Hermit just doesn't cast out very far. And it's an invitation to not necessarily center what's out and forward, but what's down and in and what's right here. It's ruled by Virgo. It's deeply devotional. So it's really an invitation. Like the deepest lesson is like anytime I wind up in a big Hermit state, I'm always looking to fly away. I'm always looking like, oh, can I get out of here? Can I go take a trip? Can I da-da-da-da? And nothing works. Like nothing comes together. Nothing gets just not a yes. So the biggest lesson, the deepest lesson when in this season and whatever we go through, Hermit, is like, yes, it's actually in alignment to be rooted, to be here, to be paying attention to the work that's presenting itself so that when the shift and the change that inevitably comes in a strength year arises, we are prepared for that. We are ready for that. So really trusting in that. We don't have to escape this. The suspension is safe. The not knowing is safe. It's okay to not know. You know, it's brutal sometimes, but it is safe. What we're being invited to pay attention to most is Six of Pentacles. So this is really important around. So coming back to our theme of declining the invitation, important to decline any invitations that we might get internally, externally that are like, shouldn't you be doing something different? Should I be in this pause? Yes. Yes. Allow yourself to be. Six of Pentacles is a new premium on how we give and receive our time and our energy. So anything that can bring us greater restructuring, balancing, restoration, restitution, reparation, it's going to bring in. Again, Six of Pentacles is like the body worker needing body work. So it flips it in that way. It's often like what we usually give is what we usually need to receive, maybe vice versa, depending on where we're at. That's what we're being invited to pay attention to. What do we give versus what we receive? What makes sense? What doesn't? What do we need to clear out, say no to? The Six of Pentacles is a lot about saying yes. It is also a fuck ton about saying no. No, I will not do that. No, I will not go down this road with you. No, I will not pick up the phone. No, thank you. I have nothing to give you, this situation, whatever it is. I'm just being very clear. This is my line here, you know? So an aligned action to take this month is Four of Cups, which I just thought was hilarious. This Four of Cups, any four that we're in is a card that says to us, rest, process, let be, take a break. You got to root. It's all about like, come down to the ground, tuck yourself into that fort and let this experience clear off of you. It's a time of non-doing and doing in by the non-doing. Four of Cups is the ultimate declining the invitation card. Everybody thinks, a lot of folks think I should say, Four of Cups is about like being closed, closing the heart. Fuck that shit. It is not. I'm usually not so blunt, but it's true. Four of Cups is about strongly and powerfully saying no thank you to something that we don't have any room for. It is a wise response and a response of radical trust and self-love, which is all what the cups are about, by the way, that they really bring us into a space that's like, you have permission to say no to this. I mean, fuck, in Five of Cups, we see that the cup we said no to plus another one winds up circling back around again. So yeah, there are times where we say no to something in life, it doesn't circle back around. Not in the case of Four of Cups, or it's something better or something different. So it's the ultimate declining the invitation card. We pause and we say no thank you, and we let ourselves digest and process something. Something needs to be digested and processed before we're able to take that next step. And I don't want to couch all this in like, we're going to be doing so much sacred work. It could just be do more reading. It could just be more like daily bullshit. It could feel like not much is going on that's so epic. That's my wish, actually, because these are pretty intense themes that like, I hope it just feels like a month for you, for me, for all of us. Obviously, this is, I'm not advocating for anybody to like sit around, but it is, I hope that it happens in a way that is internal and gentle and doesn't feel destabilizing to anyone or more destabilizing than their current situation. So that's that's the aligned action to take, is to say no thank you to whatever does not serve your process at this time. And I don't know what April will bring, but my guess is it will be very important to really center the stuff that is ready to be centered. So clearing the deck and really being able to say like, okay, there just isn't room for this is very important. And then what we're being invited to make space for and welcome in this month is Seven of Wands, which is really interesting, but a completely correct, right beautiful button on all of this. So Seven of Wands is an energy that I know I've shared this on the podcast, like in my workshops, in my retreats, in like any time that I've worked live with people. Of all the cards in the tarot, Seven of Wands is the most likely to elicit very deep tears from people, because Seven of Wands is an experience where we want to be open. We want to be free. We want to trust. We want to love. We want to open our heart. We want to do something, but there is often very valid fear from a past experience or from systemic experiences that has us wondering, like, I don't know if it's the right thing to share this. I don't know if it's the right thing to put this work out there. I don't know if it's the right thing to open my heart. I don't know if it's the right thing to get up from this place, to leave, to stay. So it often describes a deep and very painful space of hypervigilance, because we're not totally sure whether it's safe, okay, we'll be okay to do something, to drop the wand, to disarm basically emotionally and mentally and spiritually, or to make sure that that wand is pretty close to the chest, you know? So the process by which we do this is to sense into those fears. Like, what is the fear that keeps us vigilant, that has us in resistance, that puts us in a space where we're not so sure if we can trust this, if we can open to this? Like, where does that come from? From a lot of people, it's like significant land-based, racially motivated, or due to gender-based experiences or sexuality-based experiences, like either violence or either something that roots us into a place of like, I know this isn't safe because I've experienced it. Like, my ancestors experienced it. So it is valid. That's part of the trick and the real challenge with Seven of Wands, because often we can point to something that's like, no, I put myself out there. I was rejected. I was plagiarized. I was pushed out. I got tricked. My ancestors got tricked. So it's like, why open again, right? So if this is what we're being invited to make space for and welcome in, we're not welcoming in, you know, like any of the wobbliness or the worry or the, like, we're not inviting in a worst case scenario by engaging with this card. What we're inviting in, and I think really what we're getting down to here, is that April is about helping us to be with, clear, work with a part of ourselves that still has wounding around being seen, still has wounding around taking I see this having a very deep connection with lovers energy. If lovers is all about like, wow, like I thought I knew what this was. I thought I knew what I wanted. Like, I aimed a little lower. I aimed a little further left of where I wanted to be. And now I'm realizing that, or maybe I've always known, or, you know, I'm not with somebody who I think like really honors me and, you know, meets me at my lovability and, you know, whatever it might be. Very often that has nothing to do with us, but a lot of the time we have to look at, like, were we afraid of potentially getting rejected by someone else? Is there some part of us that feels like, you know, like where are we with that? And is it something that, like, what kind of nurturance, what kind of medicine does this part of us need? Like, we can't, seven energy, which Seven of Wands is, isn't about fixing it. It's not about knowing what to do either way. It's about being with, which is what all these cards are about. Lovers isn't about change. It's about being with. Three of Swords is can help us to know the aligned response to take, not that any response is unaligned, but a response that really feels like it's rooted for us. Whether that be like imbued with rage, righteous rage, or not. It's all about like, how do we be with? And how do we work with this boulder that's presenting itself that just doesn't want to be moved immediately, like wants to be acknowledged here? So declining the invitation, like there's going to be a lot of stuff that this month, and it's not to invite anyone into fear. It's just to say, like, by nature of what this month is bringing our way, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to come up that isn't necessarily going to be the sweetest. It might be really fucking bitter, really fucking spicy. I like bitter. I really like spicy. Not everyone does, you know. It's very normal for us to be in really big spaces like this and think, oh my gosh, there's something wrong. It shouldn't be this way. That is the invitation we're declining. We're declining the invitation to stay hidden, to stay, you know, if we felt stagnant, you know, a part of that is saying like, okay, could I be ready for movement in one of these areas to the best of my ability? Even in a quiet way that has nothing to do, like, can we say no thank you to any invitation that lives within us that doesn't feel like it's supporting the whole of our being? You know, that we can accessibly say no to. So all of us get invited into stuff that's not in alignment, that's not true, that sends us on a whole whirlwind. This month is about really allowing and letting be the process that wants to take place within us, helping it to lead us, to guide us into a new season of life. It's essential work in a strength year, in ultimately learning what it means for us to face the lion in question. We're kicking it off pretty hard this year. So, be gentle with yourselves. Remember all of the cards here that speak to, like, hermit. Don't make any big decisions if you don't have to. Like, four of cups, like, four is like rooting and resting and hibernating and like processing and emotion. Like, it's really like letting be what's showing up and confronting that and making space for what wants to be born anew from that. So I hope that this serves. Thank you so much for being here with me. I'm sending lots and lots of love to all of you on this Sacred Fool's Day. And until we connect again, please take care of yourselves. This podcast was edited by Chase Voorhees, podcast art by Rochelle Sartini-Gardner, and this episode was transcribed by one of our absolutely brilliant and beautiful transcriptionists, all of which you can learn more about or read about on our website, tarotofthewildsoul.com. If you wish to dive into more of my work, learn more about Soul Tarot, work with me in any kind of capacity, I'm always creating new things for us to do together, but you can find all about our self-led courses and classes and new offerings on tarotforthewildsoul.com. And if you want to be the first to know about any new offerings, any new projects that I'm doing, if you want to benefit from discounts and early birds and all kinds of lovely newsletter-only offerings, you can sign up for the newsletter at the link in our show notes. And finally, if you have a question for me to answer at the podcast, or if you'd like to work with me live on the podcast, or if you'd like your question answered on the podcast, please click the link to Ask Lindsay and send me your cues. Thank you so much for being here.